Ever imagine getting fined, like actually fined, for handing out flyers without your name on them?
Wow. Yeah, that's
Right.
wild.
It sounds crazy, but it happened. Yeah. This case, McIntyre v. Ohio Elections Commission back in 1995.
Okay.
And it has these implications that go way beyond like just those leaflets.
I bet that McIntyre case, what's so interesting about it is how it kind of highlights this tension
Yeah.
between free speech
Right.
and then, accountability. And that tension's, gosh, even more relevant today.
Totally. It's like this time capsule,
What?
but from like before the internet, right?
Yeah.
But the issues are like even more relevant now.
I could see that.
So anyone listening, if you are into the First Amendment or even just like how this all plays out online,
Yeah.
it's a must-know case.
For sure.
So basically, Margaret McIntyre, she was opposed to a school tax
Okay.
in Westerville, Ohio, and decided to, hand out these leaflets
Yeah.
near a public meeting to like express her views.
Got it.
Pretty straightforward, right?
Seems like it. Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Okay.
She didn't put her name or address on those leaflets. And that was a big problem.
Oh, why?
Because Ohio law required identification on like any campaign literature.
Oh, interesting. So this little detail
Right, yeah.
ends up causing this big legal battle, goes all the way up.
All the way to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like this fundamental clash between freedom of speech
Right.
and then, the state's interest in regulating elections.
Huh?
So what happened when the case finally gave to the Supreme Court?
Well, they ended up siding with Margaret McIntyre's 7-2 decision.
Oh, well.
They actually struck down that Ohio law. And what's really interesting is how the court framed anonymity.
Okay.
They said it's not just a right, it's like a crucial tool for a functioning
Like
democracy.
a powerful way to look at it.
Yeah, they argued that forcing people to give up their names could actually like stifle dissent, especially from people who are afraid of retaliation.
I can see that. That makes a lot of sense. It
Yeah.
makes you think about all the times when people might, kind of self-censor if they
Right.
knew their names would be like attached to their views.
Exactly. The majority opinion, it was written by Justice Stevens,
Okay.
and he leaned heavily on this idea of exacting scrutiny.
Okay.
So the government, they can't just ban anonymous speech because it's, a pain or they don't like what's being said.
Yeah.
They actually have to prove that it's causing some serious harm
Oh.
and that there's no other way, no less restrictive way to address the issue.
Interesting. So Ohio's argument, they were saying that what they were trying to prevent fraud.
Yeah, they said that
All
and that
right.
they were trying to make sure voters were informed,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
the court wasn't convinced.
Didn't buy it.
They said, look, Ohio, you already have laws against libel and stuff like that, right? And that the speaker's identity, that's actually part of the message itself. Like the state can't force you to reveal that if you don't want to.
That's
What?
fascinating. So it's like saying, I have the right to speak, but I also have the right to decide like how much of myself I reveal.
Exactly. And the court went even further.
They did.
Yeah, they emphasized the historical significance of anonymous political speech.
Right.
They actually cited examples like the Federalist Papers.
Oh, wow.
Those were written under, fake names.
That's a great parallel. It shows that anonymity has been like woven into our political discourse since the beginning.
Right, from the founding of the
But
nation.
I'm sure not everybody was happy about the court's decision.
Oh, for sure. There were some dissenting opinions that were pretty compelling.
Like what?
Well, Justice Scalia, for instance, argued that laws against anonymous campaigning were actually really common historically,
Oh, okay.
and that they served these important state interests. He believed that requiring people to stand behind their words, put their name on it,
Yeah.
that promoted accountability
Right.
and helped prevent the spread of, false information.
That's the point that's even more relevant today, right?
Sure.
With all the misinformation online
Absolutely.
and the challenge of like figuring out what's true.
Yeah, it's tough.
So Justice Scalia's concerns, they really speak to that desire
Yeah.
for transparency and accountability,
Irma.
especially in politics.
For sure, especially there.
So how did the majority address those concerns?
Well, they pointed to this idea called the chilling effect.
Okay.
Basically, the idea is that if people are afraid to speak their minds anonymously,
Right?
especially about like controversial stuff,
Yeah.
it could actually stifle important debate.
So even if anonymity could be misused,
Right.
the risk of silencing people is just too high.
Exactly. Exactly. They argued that forcing people to attach their names to these potentially controversial views could create a climate of fear and self-censorship, which ultimately undermines the whole point of free speech, the free flow of ideas.
So that chilling effect argument, that was really key in swaying the majority.
It seems like it definitely played a big role, but the court did acknowledge that anonymity isn't like a total free-for-all.
Okay, so what are the limits then? How did the concurring opinions talk about all that?
Well, Justice Ginsburg, she agreed with the outcome of the case,
Okay.
but she said, you know, this ruling doesn't get rid of all disclosure requirements.
Okay.
Like she suggested that in big campaigns, for example, there might be more reasons for transparency there.
So she's leaving some wiggle room for regulation, especially like when the stakes are higher.
Exactly, precisely. Her point was that this balancing act between free speech and other important interests, it's really nuanced.
It's tricky.
It depends on the context.
And what about Justice Thomas? What did he think about anonymity?
His main thing was originalism. That's the idea of interpreting the Constitution based on, you know, what it meant originally.
Right.
And he argued that historically, the First and 14th Amendments really support a strong right to anonymous speech.
So he was saying the founders themselves would probably been on McIntyre's side.
Most likely, yeah. He saw the framers as being very wary of the government, you know, overstepping its bounds, and especially wary of any laws that could, like, chill free speech, especially political speech.
In this case, it's already proving to be like a real deep dive
It
into
is.
like some of the most basic parts of our democracy. We're
Yeah.
just getting started. But before we go on to like the modern implications of this case, I think it's worth stopping for a second and thinking about how important McIntyre was historically.
Yeah, for sure. What's striking to me about McIntyre is that it wasn't like about some big conspiracy or some huge disinformation campaign. It was about a school tax and a woman who felt so strongly that she was willing to risk a $100 fine
Whoa.
for her right to stay anonymous.
That's a powerful statement.
It is. It says a lot about how important this principle is.
It reminds us that these little acts of defiance, they can sometimes lead to these huge legal battles that change our understanding of these really fundamental rights.
It's true.
And in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to look at how McIntyre continues to shape debates about anonymity, free speech, and accountability, but in today's digital world.
Yeah, that'll be fascinating. It's kind of crazy how, you know, like we said, something as simple as handing out leaflets without a name could turn into this huge Supreme Court
I
case.
know, right?
But what's even more interesting is how relevant McIntyre v. Ohio is in today's world, like with the internet and everything.
It's almost like this case was ahead of its time, you know? Back then in 95, the internet was like barely a thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And social media, forget it, didn't exist.
Totally different world.
But those principles, like the core ideas in McIntyre, super relevant to like our digital lives
Oh,
now.
absolutely. It's become like a key case when people talk about online anonymity and how we balance free speech with accountability, you know, in the digital age. I mean, think about it. Online forums, blogs, social media, all these places where people can just say whatever they want anonymously.
It's like McIntyre with her leaflets, but like on a massive scale. Makes me think about like whistleblowers.
Oh, yeah, good point.
People who, you know, expose bad stuff happening in companies or the government. Anonymity is like crucial for them to share sensitive info without being afraid.
Yeah, totally. They got to protect themselves. And what about like the hashtag MeToo
Oh,
movement,
that's a great example.
where survivors can share their experiences online and find support? And a lot of times they do it anonymously.
It's powerful how anonymity can like give a voice to people who might otherwise stay silent.
Absolutely. It lets them speak truth to power, you know?
Without putting themselves at risk.
But you know, there's like another side to this,
Oh,
right?
for sure. There's always a flip side.
Anonymity online, it can also protect people who are doing bad things, like people spreading hate speech or harassing others or spreading fake news and misinformation.
It's a tough one. A real double-edged sword.
It's like anonymity can be used for good, but it can also be used for harm. And as technology gets like more and more advanced, it feels like the stakes just keep getting higher.
No doubt about it. And it's not just about like individuals hiding behind fake names online.
Right.
McIntyre also makes us think about like big companies and powerful groups and how they're involved in politics.
That reminds me of, what was it, Citizens United?
Yeah, Citizens United.
That case about like corporate political spending, right?
Uh-huh.
Are there like connections we can make between Citizens United and McIntyre?
That's a really good point. It's interesting to compare the two.
Because Citizens United was all about corporate speech and campaign finance.
Right.
But it makes you think about how the court looks at political speech in general.
Okay, help me out here. How do these two cases, like, fit together in the bigger picture of free speech?
Well, think of it this way.
Okay.
McIntyre is all about protecting the individual's voice, even when they're speaking anonymously.
Right.
The court recognized that sometimes people need that anonymity to really participate in political debate.
Especially people who, you know, don't have a lot of power.
Exactly. So in a way, McIntyre is about making sure everyone has a chance to speak up.
I see. But then you have Citizens United.
Right.
Which lets corporations and big groups spend a ton of money on campaigns.
And that's where the tension comes in.
Right.
People who don't like Citizens United argue that it gives corporations way too much influence.
Yeah, like they could drown out the voices of regular people that McIntyre is supposed to protect.
Exactly. It's kind of a paradox.
Two cases, both about free speech, but with very different implications.
It shows how complicated this issue is, right?
It's really complicated.
This tension between what individuals can say and the influence of powerful groups, whether it's corporations or the government.
Right.
It comes up all the time, you know?
It does.
In debates about campaign finance, online platforms, money in politics. It's a big deal.
It's not just a legal thing. It's a societal thing.
Exactly.
And it's not just whistleblowers and social movements either.
Right.
We've got to think about deepfakes and all this AI-generated content.
Oh, gosh.
It's getting harder and harder to tell what's real and what's fake.
It really is.
So how do we even apply the ideas from McIntyre in a world where you can't even tell your information is coming from?
That's the question, isn't it? How do we know if it's even true?
It's almost like McIntyre gave us these tools to deal with free speech issues.
Right.
But the world has changed so much that those tools don't quite fit anymore.
It's like the rules of the game have completely changed.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out how to play.
And technology keeps changing things faster and faster.
I know, it's crazy.
It really underscores how important it is to like keep talking about this stuff, to think critically, and to be willing to adapt our laws and our ethics as technology changes.
We've covered so much, you know, from like the history of anonymous political speech to these challenges of regulating online anonymity today.
It's a lot to unpack.
Are there any other like big takeaways from McIntyre, legally speaking, that we should remember? It feels like we're always playing catch up with technology and how it changes, you know, like everything.
Yeah.
Especially free speech.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the scale of information online, how fast it spreads, it's mind-blowing compared to like McIntyre's leaflets.
It's true. The internet has like amplified everything, the good and the bad, you know?
Right.
When it comes to anonymous speech, that tension, protecting free expression.
But also preventing harm.
Yeah.
It's way bigger now than the court could have ever imagined back in 95.
So where do we even start with all this? Like, how do we decide, you know, when to regulate anonymous speech online? Yeah. Do the rules from McIntyre even apply anymore?
That's the big question everyone's trying to figure out, right?
It is.
Lawmakers, courts, tech companies, they're all struggling with this.
Yeah.
And there's no easy answers.
Right.
Like, McIntyre gives us some ideas, some principles.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, like, lay out a step-by-step guide for what to do online.
It's almost like we're trying to, I don't know, use a case from the like pre-internet stone age to figure out this crazy digital world.
It's a different beast altogether. But there are definitely some lessons from McIntyre that still matter.
Okay, like what?
Well, one of the biggest ones is how the court saw anonymous speech, you know, as a legitimate, valuable part of political expression.
Right. So that means if anyone wants to regulate online anonymity, especially when it comes to politics, they're going to have a hard time. They got to have a really good reason.
So the government can't just be like, no more anonymity online. We're banning it.
Nope. Not that simple. They'd have to prove that. Like, whatever rule they make,
Yeah.
it's specifically meant to address something really important,
Okay.
like stopping fraud or preventing
Yeah.
violence, you know, stuff like that.
Serious harms.
Exactly. And they'd have to show that there's no other way,
Yeah.
no less restrictive way to do it.
So basically, just banning anonymity outright.
Pretty much impossible under McIntyre.
But what about all the pressure on, like, social media platforms
That's bad.
to like control the content and prevent bad stuff, even if it's anonymous? That feels like a whole other issue.
It is. They're under a lot of
I
pressure
bet.
to take down harmful stuff,
Right.
but they also have to be super careful not to like censor legitimate speech.
Or, you know, stop people from expressing dissent.
It's a tough balancing act.
It really
It
is.
sounds like finding that balance, you know, between protecting free speech and stopping harm,
Yeah.
there's no magic solution.
Not really, no.
So where do we go from here?
Well, I think the key thing McIntyre taught us is that anonymity has been really important historically for protecting free speech and allowing dissenting voices to be heard.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And we can't forget that as we, you know, navigate this online world, it's about finding ways to keep that principle alive, but without ignoring the real harms that can happen online.
It feels like this is a conversation that needs to keep going. We got to keep talking about
Oh,
it, keep
absolutely.
debating it,
Yeah.
and adapt as technology changes how we communicate.
You got it. It's an ongoing conversation, and really, it affects all of us.
It really does. This has been such a thought-provoking deep dive, you know?
Yes. Into a case that, even though it was decided way before the internet, it has so much to say about the challenges we face today.
It really does.
Thanks to everyone for joining us on this journey, and we hope you'll keep exploring these, like, really complex issues with us in future deep dives.